Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, just when you thought Ubisoft couldn't find a way to get more generic, they specifically steered into it, and they've actually found a way to generate the genericism.
And which that's is not even impressive. At this point, hyperbole by us. That is literally the MO, almost, of this entire news story. Tell me exactly what's happening, Scott.
So, Ubisoft put a trailer out. Obviously, right now, across a lot of entertainment industries, or across a lot of industries in general, there is a lot of conversation on AI tools, whether it be ChatGPT, whether it be Midjourney, or whatever else, things that are plugged into various chat rooms, things that just let you come up with ideas, and AI will generate images for you, or maybe generate coding programs for you, or whatever. And someone at Ubisoft must have thought, we should get in on this, even though it's quite a negatively framed conversation, as you are removing the humanity from the face of the earth. But they thought they would weigh in.
So, I just want to say, you know, like the video game industry getting in on something with a negative reception has never happened before. No one tried to make NFTs a thing, if I recall. These guys, yeah.
Oh, they'll probably make the AI do the NFT thing for them, won't they?
We're living in a dystopia, aren't we?
Anyway, Ubisoft put a trailer out for Ubisoft Ghost Rider. Which is literally their AI tool. I'll read out what it is. An AI tool developed in-house that aims to support our scriptwriters by generating the first draft of our NPC barks. Barks are the phrases or sounds made by NPCs when players interact with the game world. This tool was created hand-in-hand with scriptwriters to create more realistic NPC interactions by generating variations on a piece of dialogue. And you can also see how their teams use AI to handle repetitive tasks and free up time to work on other core game elements. Maybe you just make the core game elements that are actually fun and creative, and you don't worry about generating the NPC box.
That could be it. Maybe. My big fear about this, Scott Tilford, is not necessarily this one story. It's that exact phrasing towards the end when they're talking about, it. Don't worry, AI is fine. We're only using it to free up tedious and repetitive tasks.
The stuff no one wants to do.
The stuff no one wants to do. But what does a company think are tedious and repetitive tasks that nobody wants to do? To me, that's just a way to say we're eliminating this human job and giving it to a computer. At what point do we get so far along the slippery slope, and maybe this is me catastrophizing, but when they say, you know what, actually coding video games, that's a tedious and repetitive job, and we're just going to give it to the AI because it saves time. Like, to me, it's that slippery slope mentality. When does writing an entire main script become a tedious and repetitive job that we can just outsource to an AI because it's easier and faster, and nobody really wants to do it? Video game, as in video game industries, the video game industry, sorry, I'm tripping over myself, I need an AI,
AI wouldn't do that.
The video game industry has a long history of kind of selling you bad ideas and presenting them as good, not only for the industry as a whole, but for the people who work in that industry. And so often, it's just kind of this marketing speak. It's not actually reflective of what the realities of working is. And that's what I'm scared about with this specific topic.
I think I see both. We're at a crossroads right now, which is kind of interesting. I feel like down one path, and I absolutely believe that the EAs, the Ubisofts, old school 2015, 2016 Konami, that tier of company, that general mentality of company would embrace the idea of an AI workforce that just auto-generates them the next Far Cry, the next whatever the hell you want thing, because they don't even have to factor in the human cost of it. They can just maximize the profits in theory and maximize the turnaround, and that's the more dystopian way that this can go. I feel like the other side of it is kind of where we're at in regards to things like, you know, the various AI tools that you use if you're using Photoshop to automatically select parts of an image, or even in game design, things like SpeedTree. I remember when that was a big deal towards the end of the 2000s, the idea of just clicking a button and generating an entire forest, and you go in and you trim different parts of it, but it meant that you didn't have to do the more manual part of sculpting that level. And Ubisoft have done things like that as well. Steep, the game, the snowboarding game, was made from parts of the Far Cry, you know, environment that was being put together. I think it was Far Cry 4 back then. something. But they just auto-generated a bunch of mountains, and it was like, hey, we have this physics system over here, and we have this mountain system over here. What if we just put them together, David Brent style, and made a snowboarding game? So I feel like I don't know, I definitely skew more towards it will be used in the wrong way.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the wrong ways to do it. I think once you're admitting that you're just using AI to do all the bump work, the stuff that nobody wants to do, I would rather you made a video game that, you know, focuses to plays to people's strengths.
Yes.
And focuses on something that might actually be creatively rewarding and original and innovative. So I definitely see both sides. For me, I'm hopeful that it gets used in a good way, but I don't think this is a good way.
I'm not, and I'll tell you why. Video game tools, let's say this is a tool and not just a way to, make money and eliminate labor as efficiently as possible.
They're definitely saying it's a tool for now.
That's it. Video game tools have always been pushed to their breaking point before any backlash comes in and they say, all right, we made a mistake. Like the innovations that have happened in the industry before, video game companies see how much they can get away with before they decide to do something in more imbalance or more, you know, ethically correct, let's just use that for lack of a better term. And I just don't trust them, like loot boxes, like anything in the past that they've tried to push, like season passes. They've always had an underlying foundation of why those things are correct and why those things are good for the industry. And there might be some even truth to those arguments on a base paper level, but I just don't trust the industry at large and publishers like Ubisoft to not see just how far they can push that, how much they can get away with before then inevitably having to backtrack because people ultimately don't like it. That's my worry.
The other month when the ChatGPT, because I feel like all the AI stuff has just blown up. It's been like about a couple of months where you just start seeing it everywhere. There is an example out there of someone using a modified version of ChatGPT to give that text commands to generate a part of a physics engine and a physics experiment in terms of some objects on screen. And I was like, okay, it's already kind of infiltrating the idea of coding. But the response to that from a lot of game devs was it would take us infinitely longer to try and have a conversation with an AI bot that you can just do something yourself. It did make me wonder, though, and I've thought this across the last few months, would people respond to an entirely AI-generated video game? If you go down the complete Corpo 101 approach, which I hate the whole AI art movement. I hate all that stuff. I think the amount of the artistry that is completely sacrificed to just feed it into a machine like a wood chipper and just spit you out something instead. It's not that some of the things aren't impressive on a raw visual level, but I think the lack of accreditation to the people who made those things makes it a net negative. However, I wonder, would people respond to an entirely AI-generated video game? Would they be curious what that is? Because just to round that out, if you're Ubisoft or EA or someone who's money grubby, even if we go down a cartoonish level of someone at the top who just says, why don't we make the ultimate video game? And they use whatever algorithmic data they have, whatever test audience data they have. They look at all of our player trends. They look at all the achievements that people go for and trophies and stuff. And they let a machine create the ultimate perfect video game. Would people play that? Would it sell? Would that work? Could you eliminate human creativity and ingenuity from the creative process entirely?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I already know the answer.
It's
yes. We've already had that game. It's Assassin's Creed Valhalla. This thing that you're talking about there has already been done, in my opinion. Ubisoft as a company are already working on this wavelength. Obviously, there are hugely passionate people at Ubisoft who are trying to make these games and are making good games in a lot of cases. And you can feel that passion. Mm-hmm. But the kind of creative decisions that come from the top are already informed by all of the things that you just mentioned there. Mm. Video games are already made around an algorithm. It's about market data. It's about what sells. It's about what doesn't sell. You're literally ticking boxes for market appeal, for mechanics, for style of gameplay, for color grading, for aesthetics. All of that stuff is already data they're working off.
True.
To me, this kind of AI business is just a way to make that more efficient. Mm. And the way I push back on it, not just because of a human level and it eliminates potentially like the artistry and the humanity from a project, but because that stuff already sucks. We're already sick of tick box open world games. We're already sick of all of these four player looter shooters. Just look at the response to Suicide Squad. That was a game very obviously influenced by market values of the time and test data that WB no doubt has in store. Like, this is already there, and if anything, I want to see companies push back against that mentality and not seemingly embrace it with AI systems. I guess it's worth shouting out right now, because I already know there's a million comments pointing this out, that Ubisoft literally in this game, Watch Dogs Legion, has already used AI in the past for NPCs to create NPC dialogue, to create the dialogue actually for your main character, because you could essentially be anyone in that game. So this is something they've already tried.
It was so noticeable, though.
It was, yeah. It was. And to see them kind of double down on that is disappointing, because I don't think anyone left Watch Dogs Legion saying, that was a successful experiment, we don't need main characters that are, you know, written with intent anymore. We need AI-generated characters. I don't think that was the takeaway from this very game.
No. And again, it was super, super obvious. You could see where the various, lines of dialogue were stitched together, and the whole idea of using, like, pitch shifting and whatever to try and affect, like, a different tone to someone's voice, to try and pretend they were a different NPC or a different character. No Man's Sky has a little bit of that, where the different sounds that come out of different creatures are denoted by what size the creature is. It'll make it more bassy and stuff like that. I like it in No Man's... I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like an extension of the procedurally generated approach to video games, which for my money, only like a handful, if that, of games have ever got it right, especially to an impressive degree. And even then, one of the best tightropes that No Man's Sky walks is still making it feel authored.
Yeah.
Obviously, it took a long time to get there, but I feel like where No Man's Sky is now, it's this sort of beautiful tech experiment that does feel authored and does feel like it comes from a bunch of humans, but it also is relying on a lot of generated assets and everything to become art in this weird hybrid approach. The thing I was saying about like an entirely AI-generated game, you would remove even the test audience side of it, because they have all that data from every single bit of data that they're already monitoring in terms of the way that we play games anyway.
Yeah.
You would just tell an AI to generate the perfect video game, and it would just do that based on the last 10 years of us all. I remember when Black Flag would ask you whether you liked a mission or not.
Yeah.
Ubisoft already have all that stuff.
Look, I might be in the minority for this, and I can concede that a lot of people hate, you know, divisive games. To me, that's what makes any art form special, whether it's movie, whether it's television, whether it's video games. I'd rather have something that kind of like divides people and
rushes in a conversation mm-hmm. rather than something that everyone could just say, that was good, and they don't think about it. They enjoyed the experience, they moved on. I want something that kind of is ambitious, has flaws, is, you know, has that kind of, like, I keep going back to it, that level of humanity that makes it interesting, that makes it soulful, that makes it passionate. Yeah. I'd take 10 of those any day over one algorithmically perfect game that pleases everyone but then falls out of the conversation immediately.
Honestly, if you look, I mean, look at how well, you know, recently on the channel we've done a lot of hidden gems of games that you missed, video games nobody played that are awesome, things that are, you know, back in the day that people missed. There's something about that really phenomenal 6 or 7 out of 10 game that hits an audience and connects with you because you can tell it has a soul, and none of this stuff would have a soul. It's not built for the long term, it's built to cash in. And I feel like overall, there's such a wider philosophical thing, but there's something about being creative and being human that has to allow for the stumbles, and that's what makes it special. Like, if you try and smooth off all the edges, it's not memorable. It'll just be forgettable slosh for that one particular year.
Over the weekend, I played through The Evil Within 1 again.
Oh yeah, you did.
Which is a nightmare game. That game hates the player. Just taking a med kit in that game makes you disorientated for about 5 minutes. You can't think of a gun or anything. It has these major flaws to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it interesting. And yet you could smooth over that with maybe AI or algorithm or test audiences or whatever and make the combat feel better. Mm-hmm. But in doing that, would you also smooth over other edges that make that game so fascinating with the aesthetic, with the characters, with the kind of themes that it's bringing up? Would that game be as mad and as interesting as it was if it also had really tight mechanics in that, in a just kind of like blanket this touch-up and a tightening? I don't think it would.
I think that fundamentally iterative way of making art, if you compare the pre-Endgame MCU to where we are now, where everything feels like it's a safe bet made over and over and over again, and even that whole way of applying iteration to NPC dialogue and the idea... I mean, an AI is hardly ever going to create something that is truly original.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's different definitions of what originality are based on whether an AI can even do that, but it's drawing on things that you're feeding it. You just wouldn't get the NPC variety from a human creator that would lead to memorability. I still remember Funky Student in Persona 4 from like 15 years ago, and I don't even know if an AI would have been able to come up with that. So I just think that at some point you are going to lose something.
Yeah.
And as much as it puts a premium on human creation, because it's Ubisoft saying this, and their track record isn't the best right now, and this ain't the thing that's going to get Beyond Good and Evil 2 out the door either.
No.
So there's all that stuff to be dealt with. But yeah, I think overall, obviously everybody has different opinions on AI, where very much it removes the human component from creativity, which is largely why we're into all this stuff anyway. But maybe there is a wing of people out there who are just like, I kind of want to see what an AI game would be.
Maybe.
Or whatever.
And you know, like I said, there have been automated tools in the past that have been, you know, really good for the industry. It's just me thinking about the trend of the industry previously and how far this could go. That's really what worries me ultimately. It's funny, Scott.
Yeah.
On our news video that we did the other day, I saw a comment that someone posted, and they said, this entire video between you and I is giving like 5 a.m. in someone's kitchen at a house party. And I think this is the more 5 a.m. in a kitchen in someone's house party video we've ever done.
5 a.m. Kitchen House Party is the name of my indie rock band, so
certainly
I think
is.
That this works very well. But let us know what you think down below. The AI apocalypse arriving on video game shores, and how do you think it's going to go? What ways do you think teams will use it, and do you trust Ubisoft to use Ghostwriter in a good way? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye. I'll tell you what.
Go on.
I would play Tom Clancy's Ghostwriter. I'd play that game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good name.
Sometime. Someday. It will.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.